In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good and master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, we're going to reflect on the readings for the Ascension of the Lord. But first, we're going to look at number 61 of Verbum Domini, which is quite remarkable because it's showing us, still we're at the word in the liturgy, but now we're in the sacrament of reconciliation and the anointing of the sick, both healing sacraments. I'm going to read, though the Eucharist certainly remains central to the relationship between God's Word and the sacraments, the Eucharist is central to the relationship between God's Word and the sacraments, okay? Because of the presence of Christ in the preached Word, which is analogous to the presence of Christ in the Eucharist. We must also stress the importance of sacred scripture in the other sacraments, especially the sacraments of healing, namely the sacrament of reconciliation or penance, and the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. The role of sacred scripture in these sacraments is often overlooked, yet it needs to be assured its proper place. We must never forget that, quote, the word of God is a word of reconciliation, for in it, God has reconciled all things to himself. The loving forgiveness of God made flesh in Jesus raises up the sinner. That's from some of the propositions during the synod. Okay. So the word of God is a word of reconciliation. The Lord is always calling us to be reconciled, as Paul said in the letter to the Corinthians. Okay. For in it, God has reconciled all things to himself. That's that text, 2 Cor 5. The loving forgiveness of God, made in flesh, raises up the sinner. Then another quote. Through the word of God, the Christian receives light to recognize his sins and is called to conversion and to confidence in God's mercy. That's from the work on the rite of penance. This helps us a lot, huh? When we want to examine our conscience, we could pick up the scriptures, read the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes, according to Father Servet Pinkers, are really the textbook of Christian morality. If we look at those Beatitudes, and if we're striving to let the Holy Spirit form them in us, we are on the way to a mature Christian life. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those, and so forth, you know. And so, he's saying that the Word of God brings us to this reconciliation. To have a deeper experience of the reconciling power of God's Word, the individual penitent should be encouraged to prepare for confession by meditating on a suitable text of sacred scripture, and to begin confession by reading or listening to a biblical exhortation such as those provided in the rite. Now, that's not done very much because, well, Saturday afternoon, there's lots of people out there, or before the 9 o'clock Mass, there's a lineup. The priest has to hear the confessions and get vested and go out. But we should try to find ways. Suppose for the 9 o'clock Mass at 8:45, somebody began to read the Beatitudes, let everybody think about it. Blessed are the peacemakers. And there's been fighting in that home now for a week. Well, God pronounces a blessing on the one who will start, and the person will be called a child of God. You see? When expressing contrition, it would be good if the penitent were to use a prayer based on the words of Scripture. We got some work to do there, don't we? For these and all my sins, I'm readily sorry, and so forth. No, a real text. Maybe just a bit of the prodigal son, something. So that the word is moving our spirit. It isn't just a drive-in. You drive in, you say two hamburgers, you get them, and you drive out. So, Pope's trying to teach us how to have the sacrament of reconciliation be deeper, and how that can happen through the word. When possible, it would be good that at particular times of the year, or whenever the opportunity presents itself, individual confession by a number of penitents should take place within penitential celebrations, as provided for by ritual, with due respect for the different liturgical traditions. Here, greater time can be devoted to the celebration of the word through the use of suitable reading. That is very, very important and very helpful. Suppose, we have these big penance services, okay? Suppose, before we started, we read the Prodigal Son and then preached on it. And then, had the list there of people. They could say, oh, I forgot all about that one. Yeah, to help them remember, depending on how long it's been since they've been to confession. But you start with a solicitation from the Father giving us a glimpse of his affection for us. That's how we can get to be sorry. You see, repentance is a gift of God. I think I've said this before. Why did the Lord give us these texts? Who wrote out for us those Psalms of repentance? God! So we have words to say that can move us back to him. There's quite a phrase in the prophecy in the last chapter of Hosea, where it says, come and take with you words. What words? The words I gave you. What words? Have the pity on Haneni Elohim Kahastika. How does that? Have mercy on your God in your Hesed, in the fullness of your kindness, your Hanan. Blot out all my guilt and so forth. You see? But for real. Because of all the sacraments, this is the one that gets to be sort of cash and carry, I lied 3 times, I disobeyed my parents 5 times. Oh, by the way, I had adultery 4 times, let it be animated and completed by the word of God. And you say, well, that'll take too long. Well, if it's a real good confession, they may not be back for a couple of months. So you're saving time in the long run. In the case of the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, it must not be forgotten that, quote, the healing power of the word of God is a constant call to the listener's personal conversion. And that is another propositio from the synod, you see? And it's true. Very, very, as many times as I can, even if it's just an individual anointing, I read in the book we have, there are several beautiful passages of healing and forgiveness. One I like a lot is the lowering the man down through the roof. Can you imagine? Jesus is sitting there teaching, and all of a sudden, dirt and branches and stuff are falling down on him, I guess he just keeps on teaching. And pretty soon, the guy comes down. And he says, courage, my son. Your sins are forgiven. Everybody goes crazy. Why? Because in Hebrew, the word for forgive is salach, the important word, and only God is the subject of that verb in the whole of the Old Testament, just as it is for the word bara. So the experts say, who is this guy? Only God can do that. And he says, yeah, that's right. And then he says that you may know that the Son of Man, here I am, the quintessential man, you see, but I'm also God. I have the power to forgive sins. I'm going to show you. My son, pick up your mat, go home. Picks up his mat and goes home. So there's total healing of spirit and body. Okay. We can think particularly of Jesus' own closeness to those who suffer, and how he, God's incarnate word, shouldered our pain and suffered out of love for us, thus giving meaning to sickness and death. It is good that in parishes and in hospitals, according to circumstances, communities' celebrations of the anointing of the sick should be held. On these occasions, greater space should be given to the celebration of the word and the sick helped to endure their sufferings in faith in union with the redemptive sacrifice of Christ who delivers us from evil. Now, you may think that's a little contrived. I can promise you that it isn't. That when we have time, I'm visiting in the hospital and the person is sick, but they're not in extremis. I always read a text, that one I just told you about, or some others that are there in the book. And people respond. Their faith is the power of the Word of God. Remember? It is there. The Lord is present. You see? And so it's a way that the Word of God heals the sick. So what the Pope's been saying is, look at the power of the Word of God in our two sacraments of healing. You see? The anointing of the sick and confession. Not to neglect the fact that the Eucharist itself is a healing. Some people get healed just receiving the Eucharist there. Happens a lot, actually. But the soil is prepared for that plant to be inserted of healing by the Word, which itself, you know, you have that lovely psalm where it says, he sent forth his word and healed them. 145. He sent forth, the first part is all about the works in nature, and the second part about the works of the word, you know. So, it's an interesting meditation and one that we're not used to, but everybody has to esteem it. Otherwise, people say, well, I just came here for an anointing. I didn't need all this. Oh, yes, you did. That's the only way you can get open. The Word opens you up. The Lord Christ is present there. And he opens you up so that in the anointing of the sick, he can embrace you and heal you. That famous leper story, Lord, if you wish, you can make me healed. Make me whole. Jesus said, if I wish, everything is possible to the one who believes. And so forth, you know. So he gets angry. Why is he angry? He's angry to see the state of his brother suffering like that, with leprosy. He's angry at the triumph of Satan to have made him sick like that. So he puts his hand on him and he drives out the sickness. It's very beautiful. And it's important to bear in mind that sickness is a fact of human life. But so is the Word of God, and so are the sacraments of healing. I can remember once talking with a man who was purely paranoid. He came into confession about 10 o'clock at night. I was hearing confessions at a retreat house. And he came in describing how the communists were after him. I'm going back now 35 or 40 years. And I just let him talk for a while. And then I began to sort of respond, love him. And, well, it took a while, but about 2:30 in the morning, he was sane. He wasn't doing that anymore. And then I could give him absolution and he repented for his sins, which was serious and maybe part of the fear of why he was paranoid. I never saw him again. I don't know if the healing stayed, but it was remarkable to see that just sitting there and praying for 2 hours or more, this man went from being convinced the Russians were out there waiting to get him to being a normal man, able to confess his sins and be sorry. It can happen.